blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 65, stanzas 1 through 4. Grace and truth shall mark the way where the Lord his own will lead, if his word they still obey, and his testimonies heed. 1 through 4 of Psalter 65. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the second epistle of Peter, the third chapter, 2 Peter chapter 3. But first we will read the law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, and thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. 2 Peter chapter 3. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning the son and the grandson of Mr. and Mrs. Bill Auerkirk, who were seriously injured in an accident in this past week. Mr. and Mrs. Andrew Busicom have received a well-born son in this past week. Mr. and Mrs. Bert Grisnick have received a well-born daughter in this past week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of the earth, in whose counsel, in whose hand are the lives of each and every one of us, also with our children and our grandchildren, wilt thou remember those the son, the grandson of those in our midst that must in this day be so unexpectedly lying in the hospital. Lord, thou knowest all that has taken place. Once again, the calling is coming unto them, but also unto us. Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Lord, wilt thou remember them, that thou may heal them in their bodies. May thou give necessary wisdom and skill unto the doctors for their case. And wilt thou bless the means that are being used for their recovery. But Lord, bring this calling also home unto them, unto each and every one of us. Oh, that we may be given hearts now to understand, because these callings do come a week after week. Oh, that we may be given an understanding heart, that we might learn to prepare our hearts to meet thee in peace and in righteousness. Oh, that we may be given that deep and heartfelt need, that we may be reconciled to thee, and that we may be able to stand before our judge. Oh, that thy dear Son may become so necessary for each and every one of us, before it is forever and eternally too late. Lord, wilt thou draw then our hearts? Without that drawing, then we shall never run after thee. That the callings, that the warnings, but also that the preaching of thy word and the reading of thy word, day by day and week by week, that it may have fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold in the midst of us as a congregation, that new ones may be born in Zion. Also, even as it was in a natural way, do remember those mothers who have given birth unto well-born children, that they may be children born to be born again, that the mothers and the children may receive the strengthening in their bodies again, that the families, the fathers, the mothers, the sisters, the brothers may be given hearts to acknowledge thee for thy many blessings. But Lord, life that is brought into this world, but also as we have heard in that accident, life that was also taken away. And so generation by generation we do come, each one to appear before thy holy judgment seat. And we are given but a short time here below, between that cradle and the grave, that we may be reconciled unto our Maker. O Lord, remember us in this day, when thy word will go forth, if thou wilt give it unto us. When it will go forth in the midst of us, oh, that thou may go with it, that thou may bring it into our hearts where we cannot bring it. Oh, then we feel in these times how weak and how helpless that we are. We cannot comfort those that mourn. We cannot give health and strength to those that are sick. But we also cannot raise the spiritually dead. We cannot give a saving impression unto ourselves or unto others. We cannot raise ourselves out of that spiritual sloth and prison house. Oh Lord, everything that is so dependent upon thee, but thou art the God of the heavens and of the earth, and all the power and all the might that does lie in thy hands. This thou sayest we ought to beseech thee for. And Lord, so we try to come unto thee. And thou knowest that we are unworthy of the least of all the mercies.
that thou dost continue to show unto us day by day. And then if thou wouldst deal with us according to our many sins, thou couldst only cut us off and cast us from thy face eternally. But wilt thou take reasons out of thyself and out of thy only begotten Son, who has agreed and who has also fulfilled it, to go forth in that way of suffering, to pay that awful price that of sin. Oh, that he has gone forth to give a soul and body, even unto that natural, unto that spiritual death. Oh, that thou may remember us when he was separated from thy countenance, and he had to cry out therefrom, oh, that we may not be separated from thee, but that he may have taken away that great gulf and that great separation between God also and our souls. Oh, that there may be a need, a desire born in the heart of each and every one of us, that we could not go on any longer. When thou would stop us by thy Spirit in this day, O Lord, we beseech it of thee. Wilt thou remember all those that are in mourning? Wilt thou strengthen, comfort, and help them, as no man is able to do? Be with all widows, widowers, and orphans. Be with all that suffer from serious diseases, all those that have crosses in this life known to thee, and that are not able to deliver themselves therefrom. Oh, that they may be given also to know that thou art the true and the living God, that their cry also may go out to thee in the time of their great need, and that they may experience thy power and thy almighty hand in the needs of this life, and that so also the souls may be drawn to thee, and that in that great need of our soul, that we may be given to cry out unto him, unto whom all power is given in heaven and in earth. O Lord, come now, we beseech thee. Take reasons out of thyself and open up the heavens and pour us yet out a blessing so great that we would not be able to receive it all. It all lies on thy side. Oh, if it could be in thy good will and good pleasure, and that thou may look in mercy upon us and upon our dear children. Oh, instruct every one of thy children. Lord, shame does cover their faces continually, because they have not that zeal to serve thee as they are bound. Oh, they do not have that love. They do not have that separation as it ought to be in this life. Lord, from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, then they can only say continually that they are wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Oh, they have no might against that great company that continually comes against them. And their own... then they have also that law in their members, which wars against the law of their mind. Oh, then it is that they are often glad when they may awake upon thy Sabbath day, and that they may be separated for a few moments from all that is carnal and all that is vain in this world, that their hearts may be fed in thy house of God this day. Oh, that is the desire of that new life, even when that old life seems to overpower it day by day. But Lord, yet there is a longing, yet there is a sorrow, yet there is a desire. Oh, may thou fulfill it, may thou strengthen it, that old man may be more and more mortified, and that their life may be a more and more an example of a stranger and a pilgrim here below, who is seeking a city that has foundations. Oh, we beseech thee then for young and old. Lord, we beseech thee for thy spirit. We beseech thee for thy power in this morning hour, that it may go in the midst of us from pew to pew, and that while we are still in a day of grace and in a time of salvation, that thy work may appear unto us, and that we may see it, and that also the labors of our hands may be blessed, even in the midst of this, our congregation. Wilt thou remember all thy servants this day? Oh, when thou hast truly sent them, then there will be no strength from their own side. Lord, may thou go with them, and may thou help us to bring thy word in the meaning of thy Holy Spirit, that we may be faithful to thee, and that thou may thus bless thy word, oh, that it may be heard also this day, and by new ears, that they hear it, Lord, not as what we say, because we are a man, and we are but a foolish creature, but when we may bring it out of thy word, oh, that then the hearts may be convinced, that they may be converted when they may hear the word of the Lord, and that the new desires may begin to go out after the true and the living God. O Lord, we beseech thee, remember us. Be with those that couple that hopes to be united in this week in a holy matrimony. Lord, may thou remember them, and may thou bless that marriage, that they may be truly united with bonds that will never be separated until death do them part, but that also they may desire that other marriage, that marriage to that great bridegroom, that will be a bond that will never be separated. Remember those who have difficulties in marriage. Lord, thou knowest where they are, whether we know or whether we do not know. Oh, protect thy own institution. Oh, give them a cry to thee, that thou would make it well, even when they are not able to make it well. And Lord, and may thou give self-denial, and may thou give a love to thyself, a supply and help in all the needs of this life, the crosses, and look upon our children, our youth. Give them new hearts in the days of their youth, that they may learn to love thee above all, and their neighbor as themselves. Lord, wilt thou go with us then in this morning? Help us in the speaking. Help us in the listening. Drive out the buyers and the sellers. And that together we may truly be gathered around this little portion of thy holy word. And that thou may speak, Lord. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful. For Jesus' sake, amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 421, stanzas 3 and 4. Blessed is the man whose strength thou art. Thy ways are hidden in his heart. He treads the highway to thy dwelling. Though passing through a vale of tears, thy grace, O God, to him appears. With winged hope and power impelling, the wilderness by showers blessed is now a pilgrim's vale of rest. We announced that the last collection today is for the building fund. The Lord willing, the youth group hopes to meet on Saturday, September the 6th, in Lethbridge. Elder Grunendijk hopes to tell something of his work on the Baldwin mission field. Eric Muntz and Amy Arnold-Dusen hope to be united in holy matrimony on Friday, September 5th. Also, William Puss and Erica Vinnie hope to be united in holy matrimony on Friday, September 12th. Lawful objections to these marriages must be brought to the attention of the consistory. Psalter 421, stanzas 3 and 4. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land. That promise, congregation, unto that servant of the Lord that was so sure, it could not but be fulfilled. The Lord has come unto Abram also to give the sign that it shall be fulfilled. And he has spoken unto him by way of covenant, that is, that he may swear that it shall be fulfilled, thus to make an oath. But how shall that be fulfilled, and when shall that be fulfilled? Those are things that are often still a great mystery in the life of God's church. They often have so many questions, and there are matters that are often hid from that church. We read that in a small way, and then step by step, that the Lord is revealing something of these things unto his servant Abram. The Lord willing, next time we hope to consider how. But in this morning, then, we wish to consider for a few moments together when, the time, that this shall be fulfilled. That will not be, the Lord says, any time soon. Genesis 15, the 16th verse is our text for this morning hour. Genesis 15, verse 16. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. So far the words of our text. Time extended to the Amorites to fill their cup of iniquity. First, who these Amorites are. Second, the iniquity of these Amorites. And third, the time still extended to these Amorites. Time extended to the Amorites to fill their cup of iniquity. First, who these Amorites are. Second, the iniquity of these Amorites. And third, the time still extended to these Amorites. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Who are these Amorites? They are the ones that are inhabiting this land of Canaan, as Abram has been brought there by the Lord. To whom was that land promised, boys and girls? Say, that promise was unto Abram. And we heard that that promise that shall certainly be fulfilled. But there are people, and they are already living in that land. And thus, if Abram is going to live in that land of Canaan, and it is going to be rightfully his, then there cannot be two owners of any piece of property. There cannot be two owners of that land. The Lord will not give that land to Abram in competition with someone else. No, the Lord is going to give this land unto Abram. And yet there are people dwelling in this land. Are they not the rightful owners of that land of Canaan? Yes, they are. Who has given that land to them? That was also the Lord. He has given them that land in the way of his providence. And now it is the Lord who will then have to put out these peoples, these nations, in order to make room for Abram and for his seed. And now the Lord comes to Abram, and the Lord shows to Abram the extent of that property, of that land that he is going to receive. In the same day, we read, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, "Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates." Thus, the river of Egypt, children, you know what that was. That was the great Nile River in Egypt. So that is on the one side. And then, and the Lord says, the great Euphrates River, which is called the great river, that is on the other side, the boundaries, as it were, of that land that the Lord will give unto Abram. And then the Lord is also even more specific with Abram, that he names actually the inhabitants of those lands that shall become his. The same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, "Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river Euphrates, the Kenites and the Kenizzites, and the Kadmonites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Rephaims, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Girgashites, and the Jebusites." Thus, the Lord lists here 10 nations which inhabited this land. And actually, the Amorites were the greatest number of people that were living in this land, the largest part of these 10 nations, dwelt in the mountains of Judah and Ephraim on the east of the Jordan, and they have, in the time of Sihon and Og, they have also crossed over the Jordan to the west side, and thus these were, of all of the tribes, and by far those who have spread the most through this land. And thus the Lord is actually, in our text, when the Lord speaks about the Amorites, and then the Lord is grouping all of these nations, these 10 nations, and perhaps also smaller tribes and peoples among them, that the Lord groups them all together under this one name of Amorites. "For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full." Thus, these 10 nations, they need to be rooted out of this land by the Lord in order to make room for Israel. And then we need to take a little bit of a closer look at who that these 10 nations are. Thus we have, in the first place, 5 of these tribes, 5 of these nations are descendants of Canaan. You know also, children, who Canaan was. Canaan was the son of Ham, and Ham was the son of Noah. Thus Canaan, he is the grandson of Noah. And then 5 of these tribes, they are the descendants of this Canaan. We read in Genesis 10, "And Canaan begot Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth, and the Jebusite, and the Amorite, and the Girgashite, and the Hivite, and the Arkite, and the Sinite, and the Arvadite, and the Zemarite, and the Hamathite, and afterwards were the families of the Canaanites spread abroad." Thus, here in our text, when we hear of these 10 nations, and then we hear of at least 5 of these as the descendants of Canaan, the Canaanites. Well, that may have been several of the smaller of the families of the sons of Canaan. The Amorites, we heard, the Girgashites, the Jebusites, but now also the Hittites. And the Hittites, they were the sons of Heth. Thus, five of those nations, they are descendants of Canaan. Then the other five, they are probably not descendants of Canaan. The origin of these tribes, we really do not know. We know that Moses' father-in-law, he was a member of the Kenite tribe. And the Kenites, they dwelt in the southern portion of that land of Israel, next and near unto the land of Egypt, the Kenites. And then we have here also the Kenizzites. They apparently dwelt in that same region. And we hear also of the Kadmonites. Kadmonites, that means eastern. So these were likely those that have dwelt in the extreme eastern boundary. So the Kenites, the Kenizzites, and the Kadmonites. Could very well be that these were even tribes that were related unto Abram. Thus, it could be that there were among these 10 tribes those who were the sons not of Ham, but those that were the sons, the grandchildren of Shem. And they were mixed in with these other tribes. We read then of the Perizzites. The Perizzites, and they were a tribe that was very widely dispersed among the other tribes. Yet we know that the Perizzites did not belong unto the other tribes. They had another origin. We know that the Philistines also, and they were not Canaanites, and yet the territory of the Philistines was also assigned unto Israel by the Lord. Thus the Perizzites, and then finally the Rephaims. And the Rephaims, they are the giants. We do not know so much about them, only that in the time of Abram, and later on they spread themselves further, but in the time of Abram, then they were largely on the west side of Jordan in that land of Perea. Thus we have 10 nations. And these 10 nations, they are all united by the Lord under this one term, the Amorites, because the Amorites, they are, as we said, by far the largest number here of people, 10 tribes. And the Lord lists those 10 greatest of the tribes that lived in these lands. And we know what that number of 10 also means, young people. And that is completion. Thus, what does the Lord say when he numbers 10 of those tribes? Then the Lord says to Abram, as it were, Abram, I am going to drive out the whole land. And you are going to receive the land of all of these nations. But he says, not yet. And why not yet? Because, he says, the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. What does that mean? That is our second thought. The iniquity of the Amorites. Thus the Lord is not going to drive these Amorites out of this land without a cause. To take it away from them and to give it to someone else. At present, that is a land which is rightfully their own by the providence of the Lord. And the Lord is going to give that this land that is going to remain their own until it is their own sin that is going to expel them out of that land. That is now something that is very remarkable. And why is that so remarkable? Because the Amorites, or we should say perhaps the Canaanites in general, these Canaanites are already a cursed nation by the Lord. How did that happen? We read that in Genesis 9. Noah drank too much wine. That is also possible, even by the children of the Lord. And the abuse of that alcohol that has caused congregations so much misery in this world. We know that there is a lawful use by the Lord, but it is the abuse, and that has brought so many people into so much misery. When it is possible, then it is better to do without it completely. Noah, even a man of God, Noah, he becomes drunken. And drunken people, they do not know what they are doing. What an awful condition for that man that was created in the image of God. As we heard of last week, knowledge, righteousness, holiness, that is our creation. And now to see a man in such a condition that he cannot even use his right faculties, well, even to see God's child, one that has been given a new life, one that has been redeemed by the Lord himself, and then to be in such a state to not realize even what he is doing. Noah uncovers himself within his tent. And what happens? We read that his son Ham sees him and he laughs at him. He mocks at him. He goes to tell his brothers, look, see there our father. Oh, what a disgrace upon the work of the Lord. And then we know what happens, that Shem and Japheth, they do not think that that is so something to speak about. And with shame on their own faces, they take a covering and walk backward to cover their father who is in such a shameful condition. And thus they cover what? They cover the sin of their father. Love, we read in the Word of God, that covers a multitude of sins. Noah awakes and he knows then what his son has done unto him. And Noah curses Canaan. Well, Canaan, that is Ham's son. Thus he curses his grandson. Say, well, it was not his grandson. No, that does not mean that he did not curse Ham. But what the scripture says is that he cursed actually Ham and all of Ham's descendants. That curse of Ham that would not remain on himself alone, but he'll go also to his own son. It will go also unto his grandchildren. Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. Thus, Ham has disgraced his father. And Noah says that Ham and his children shall also be disgraced. Remember that, young people, children, that God is often visiting a person in his life with his own sins. Ham is no longer worthy to be called a son, and Ham now will be called a servant. He shall be made, we read, a servant of servants. That curse of God's servant that was given, and when it is given, it is also heard and it is also answered by the Lord. Thus, those Canaanites, those descendants of this grandson of Noah, they are from the Lord already a cursed nation. They shall be servants of servants. They shall be the lowest and the meanest and the most despicable of the servants, even servants unto their own brethren. What does that mean? That means they shall be born equal, as it were, but the one shall be made put into subjection unto the other. That was fulfilled 800 years later. And when the Canaanites, they were either slain by the sword of Israel or they were made tributary. They were made servants. We just read the law of God. And in that law of God, then we read that the Lord will visit. He will visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and to the fourth generation. Thus the Lord, as it were, in that commandment, he puts a kind of a limit upon himself that he will visit the sins of the parents to three and four generations. But we see here that the Lord, he is not bound to limit himself, but that he is free to carry out his curse even to the eighth or to the ninth or to the tenth generation. You say, boys and girls, is that really right? That when my father would do something wrong, that I would then be punished for what my father did? That was the complaint of the children of Israel in the days of Jeremiah. And those children of Israel in those days, they spake unto the Lord, or they spoke to Jeremiah by the way of a parable. And they said, the fathers have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. It was a parable. What does the parable mean? Well, maybe we know what it means, what the effects are when we will eat a sour grape. Then we know what we feel within our body. We know what we feel within our mouth. We know what we feel within our teeth. The fathers have eaten a sour grape, and they say the effects, they are not now on the fathers, but the effects, they are now upon the children. Our fathers have done what was not right, and now we are punished for what our fathers have done. And what does the Lord say by Jeremiah, his servant? He says, no, it is not so. And it shall not be so. He says, everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eats a sour grape, his own teeth,
it shall be set on edge.
Thus, how can we reconcile these two things? We read together that the Lord, He visits the iniquities of the fathers upon the children. And then the Lord says by Jeremiah, know that everyone who sins, he is going to die for his own sin. The son shall not be put to death for the sin of the father, and the father shall not be punished for the sin of his son. Thus, these two, they must be reconcilable when they are spoken by that same God, the God of truth. Why are we punished? We are punished because of guilt. Guilt. It is guilt that a judge is concerned with. And there is a judge who passes sentence, punishment, when we are guilty. Death, that is punishment. And there is punishment for guilt. What now does a father pass to his children? Not his guilt. No, when a father sins, he is guilty, but his son is not guilty. So a father does not pass his guilt unto his children. But we heard last week that there is something that a father and a mother pass to their children. That is corruption. That is their pollution. Who can bring forth a clean thing out of an unclean? So it is because the father and mother are corrupt from the head to the foot, that also the son and the daughter are corrupt from the head to the foot. And now we sin because we are sinners. We sin because we are corrupt. Thus, out of that corruption we sin. And it is now ourselves that have brought upon ourselves our own guilt by our sin. Thus, we are not dying for the sin, for the guilt of my father. No, I am dying for my own guilt. I am punished for my own guilt. So how is it that the Lord is visiting the iniquity of the fathers then upon the children? Well, the fathers, he allows that corruption to pass through the fathers unto the children. And also in an outward way, when father and mother, parents, when we will set an evil example for our children, then in a natural way, our children, they are going to follow our example. And when they will follow our evil example, they will bring guilt upon themselves. And thus the Lord is visiting our children because of our iniquity. The Lord is also not obliged to restrain our children. The Lord is free to allow our children to go on to live out that corruption that lives within their own heart. But then it is that sin that the children sin themselves which make them guilty and for which they are punished. And this text that we consider in this morning, that is proof of this. Why? Because the Lord says the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. They are a cursed nation. And yet the Lord is sparing them. The Lord is waiting before He will cast them out, before He will
bring that curse upon them? When will he wait until? He will wait until their own guilt has come out, and when their own guilt has made them worthy of condemnation. Is that sure to take place? From God's side, yes. That is certain to take place. But from their side, no. Because from their side, they are still given time to turn. They are still given time to repent. That is our third thought. Let us sing first from Psalter 432, stanzas 1 and 3. God, Jehovah reigns. His are all domains. Tremble at his word. Peoples who have heard of the power of him who mid cherubim his great throne has taken, let the earth be shaken. 1 and 3 of Psalter 432. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Thus Abram must
wait.
And his posterity must wait. And that is not a strange thing in the life of that true church. That they must wait, and that they must wait often for a long time until the time of the Lord that is ripe for the fulfilling of his own promises for Abram. We read that is 400 years, that is an approximation. We read in the fourth generation, and then in the book of Exodus we read, and it came to pass at the end of 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. And why must he wait? For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. He must wait until their sin increases. He must wait until their iniquity will cast themselves out of their own land. Say, were they not already worthy to be cast out? Were they not a people who from their grandfather and great-grandfather and great-great-grandfather, they have left now the ways of the Lord? Because this is only 350 years after the flood, the long-suffering of the Lord that is so great. And the Lord is going to wait until their sin comes unto a very great height. The Lord says he is going to give them still four generations, and that they may turn themselves back unto the Lord again. And then the Lord is going to so completely bring them to an utter end. Then it is going to be for them a final destruction. Then the Lord is going to command that even the little babies, they must be slain. Congregation, the iniquity of the Amorites, that is not yet full. The Lord knows what is in that evil heart of man. The Lord knows that man is bent on sin. David said, the Lord looked down from heaven to see if there were any that did understand. And the Lord had to say that they are all gone out of the way. There is none that seeketh after God. There is none that understands. There is not one that doeth good. Oh, even though much time is given unto the reprobate, then they have a heart that is so bent on destruction. And that fallen man, he does not set any limits to his own iniquity until his own sin that will throw him out of that land. And the Lord is not obliged to constrain us. The Lord is not obliged to put a fence, to put a wall around man. No, the Lord is free to allow man to live out all that lies in his wretched heart. And it is his own sin that is going to be the cause of his punishment. His judgment is going to be just. The iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. The long suffering of the Lord, congregation, that is so very great. The Lord himself declares it. We read this when Moses came into that holy presence of the Lord. And then the Lord did pass by Moses. And listen now what the Lord said. The Lord God, merciful and gracious.
long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. The Lord declares it again by His own servant. The psalmist says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy." Why did Jonah not want to go to Nineveh? Listen to what he says. "I knew Thou art a gracious God and merciful and of great kindness, and repentest Thee of the evil." Then we hear it over and over again by the mouth of the Lord, by the mouth of His servants, how long-suffering that the Lord is. That the Lord is giving to man, that the Lord is giving to us a time of repentance. And in that time, the Lord is calling. We have received these calls so many times in these past few months living here in Fort McLeod. How many people are killed here in the last several months? The Lord is calling unto us in His long suffering. And in that time, then the Lord's judgments, they are withheld. In that time, the judgments of the Lord, they are silent. That the Lord gives man an opportunity to turn away from his sin. That He gives him time. The Lord declared already the destruction of Nineveh, and He yet gave them time, 40 days. And the repentance has warded off that destruction for a time, for 100 years. The Lord has declared the destruction of that first world, and yet the Lord gave them time. 120 years. The divine curses of God, they are operating so slowly on this earth. 800 years. This curse of these Canaanites that lay dormant. They would become servants of servants, and you could not see this for 800 years because they were peoples who prospered in the world. The iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And in that long suffering of the Lord, in that time that the Lord is giving, then we can read here that the Lord is laying up the iniquity of those Amorites. That the Lord is writing, as it were, the iniquity of that people, every sin in His book. And that there is nothing left out. A picture, as it were, of a cup. Boys and girls, you fill up a cup. You fill it. You pour it slowly and slowly. It fills more and more until it is full. And the Lord says, "You Amorites, you are filling your cup. I give you time that you can make it completely full." So the Lord is doing with our nation, with the nations of this world, that the iniquity of the nations that is mounting up slowly in heaven, that is not only for the nations, but that is for every individual, that is for every one of us. Not one single sin is forgotten by the Lord. the sin of omission and the sin of commission. Every deed and every word and every thought that is slowly drop by drop, that is filling up our cup of iniquity. The iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. That cup of iniquity that either must be forgiven, every sin, or it must be punished, every sin. One of the two. There is no third way, because the justice of God, that is, it is impossible that it looks over one single sin. It must be punished. How is that now, congregation, with our own sin? How full is our cup? What is in that cup? What is going into the cup? How fast is the cup of our iniquity filling? The iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. The long suffering of the Lord is not going to last forever. There comes an end. When is the end? When our cup of iniquity is full. That is why the nations are spared to this moment. Because they have not yet come to that height that the Lord is going to allow. And that final and the eternal state of that kingdom of God that is yet waiting. And the children of God, the true church that is yet waiting until the world will fill up its cup of iniquity. That is also why we are spared in a personal way. Because our cup of iniquity is not yet full. There was a man who was, he was a heathen man. And he said this: the anger of God proceeds with a slow step to avenge itself, but it compensates for its tardiness by the severity of the judgment. When that patience of God comes to an end, then the judgment that is quick and that is final. That is what was experienced by the first world. That is what was experienced by Sodom and Gomorrah. When those flood waters, they begin to rise, they will not cease to rise until the highest mountain is covered. When that fire and that brimstone that falls from heaven, it is not going to cease until the smoke of the country goes up as the smoke of a furnace. Congregation, the iniquity of the Amorites, the iniquity of Fort McLeod, that is not yet full. But that cup is filling. That is filling for us collectively, but it is also filling for each one of us personally.
What do we think of that long-suffering of God? We read together what Peter says. That in the end times, men are going to mock. They are going to say, where is the promise of his coming? Because since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And what does he answer? He says, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord is as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works therein shall be burned up. Oh, let us not think that because it seems that God is not on the throne, because it seems, young people, just as if those are right who say that there is no God, and that the judgments of God, they are not yet upon us. Oh, let us not think that therefore that God does not sit upon his throne. Solomon says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. That is the abuse of that long suffering of God. Paul says, despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? There comes an end. Mene, mene, tekel, euphorsin. An end is come. God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Congregation, who of ourselves will not be weighed in that balance and found wanting? The iniquity of the Amorites that is not yet full, but it is filling. And while the judgments of God are waiting, that is not time for sloth. That is not time for carelessness in this world. What ought to be that foremost concern of every one of us? How shall we be right in the sight of a holy and a righteous God? What did the Lord say to Lot by his angel, to Lot and to his children, to his wife? Escape, he says, for thy life. Neither stay thou in all the plain. Look not behind thee, lest thou be consumed. The iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. There is a little time. We know not how much time that is, because that is fast filling that cup of iniquity. And will we not hear? Will we not hear that word of the Lord? What did the Lord Jesus say to the Pharisees? Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. Fill it up. And the Lord is so righteous to leave us go. But we refuse. And what can be more fearful than to be left to ourselves? People of the Lord, Solomon, he says, let not thine heart envy sinners. Why? Their time is coming. cup of iniquity that is filling, and their portion that is received here below. And what is that portion for which you wait? Oh, you wait for that portion that is not of this earth, but that is heavenly. That is a portion when all sin, when all iniquity shall be completely done. What does Lord Jesus say? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Well, what did we read here? From Peter. Peter says we look for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And that cannot be expected until that enemy, that great enemy, that is completely put away. Oh, how then we ought to make our election sure, that we may be sure that we are not put away with that enemy or that thief. He said, we indeed justly, we receive the due reward of our deeds. Then he saw something. That was a man who saw that his cup was full. So full, he deserved to be cast away forever. Then he saw something. Then he saw that mediator who had done nothing amiss and who was hung upon that cross. And what did he see? He saw the cup of his iniquity was poured out upon that only Son of God. O congregation, that is a man that today sings. He sings instead of suffering. He sings with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob. Oh, they all together filled their own cup, as we are doing. And yet today, they do not suffer for it, because that cup was poured out, the wrath of God upon that only Son of God. Oh, do we understand? The Lord drive home the need for that precious Son also to be applied. Young people, we have seen it. Young man, he is sitting in our midst. The cup of iniquity, not yet full. Oh, seek that our cup also may be emptied. May be emptied in the sight of God upon his only Son. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, our sins, they testify against us. They cry out to thee, thy long suffering that is so great to us and to our dear children. But Lord, thou knowest what we do with it. Oh, we abuse it. We continue in our sin. Oh, turn us, Lord. Bring thy word home. Bring thy word home, Lord. In this morning hour, be the after speaker thereof, and that we might learn to hasten, and for our life's sake, that we may learn to escape for our life,
not to look behind us, or remember us further in this day. Be with us. And when we will be in the other part of our congregation, be with him who will lead also in this afternoon hour. Bring faithfully also under the reading services. Give thy blessing upon thy word this day. Forgive our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 255, stanzas 2, 3, and 4. For how great a God and glorious is Jehovah, whom we sing. Over idol gods victorious, great is he, our God and King. And what follows in 2, 3, and 4 of Psalter 255. Thank you. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.